Well, turning your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, we just started just a couple of weeks ago, so we're going right through this letter, verse by verse, passage by passage. When you think about this letter, it's often called the Epistle of Joy, because as we read this, it encourages each of us to live a joyful Christian life in the midst of the trials, problems, and pressures of life. We said the word joy or rejoice is in there 16 times in this short letter. So that's kind of the key. This morning, we see Paul's thankfulness for these fellow believers from Philippi. And if you remember, he had been there, left. They find out he's in prison in Rome, and they send a gift. And so he's writing to thank them for the gift. And that's what he's doing. And we should be thankful for fellow believers in this body that we get to know. As we look at these verses this morning, two key things sort of stand out. One is the Philippians were partners in the ministry. We'll talk about what that means. And then we're going to see that the Philippians were partners in the defense of the faith. What does that mean? How does it fit together? Well, there's a lot, and we're going to see some things this morning. But let me give you some questions just to think about. How are we partners in the gospel? In fact, what does that even mean? Second, how can we be ready to defend the faith? And third, how should we love one another? Because we know that love is an action, and how can we show love to one another in this body? Well, as we begin, I want to put up a verse. I want you to think about this verse. This is 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asked you to give an account of the hope that is within you with gentleness and reverence." I've memorized it a long time ago. It says, be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within you. The word defense here means the idea of explaining what you believe. The bottom line is we're to be ready to defend what we believe, to know what we believe and defend what we believe. There are going to be times that we need to stand and say, listen, salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Here's where it says it, the scripture. There may be times we have to say, here's the Bible. It is the word of God. There may be places where people would say something like, well, you could lose your salvation. We need to say, no, let us show you from the Bible how you can know that you have eternal life and you're saved and saved forever. I got a call not too long ago from someone in our church, and they had had someone come to their door with a different message. And so they were able to go to the Bible. They went and actually got their Bible and brought it out. They were able to show these people that when they would say something, they would say, well, let me show you something that doesn't really match the scripture. And they would show them, and they were able to defend what they believe. And so let me ask this question. Can you defend what you believe? Do you know what you believe and why you believe it? Can you defend it? That's kind of the key that we need to be able to do, is say, look, I know what I believe about salvation, what I believe about the Christian life, what I believe about Jesus, what I believe about the Bible. I know these things. I know what I believe, and I'm able to defend from the scripture. And by the way, this is called apologetics. That sounds kind of funny, but it comes from the Greek word apologia, which means to defend. It means to give an answer. It means to make a defense. So Paul's going to talk about it. In fact, in this little section this morning, we're going to see that Paul states that the Philippians are partners with him as he defends his faith before the Roman government. And we'll see how that is. And so some questions for all of us. Do you know what you believe about salvation? Do you know what you believe about the Christian life? Do you know what you believe about eternal life and security as a believer? Do you understand how the Bible fits together? Do you understand those kind of things? Can you give an answer to those who may ask you questions about it? We want to be able to do that. And so that's how it fits together. Well, last time we started with the greeting. And Paul is writing to a group of believers. If you remember, on his second missionary journey, he ended up going to the city of Philippi. He led this woman named Lydia to Christ. Then he led the Philippian jailer to Christ. He got the church going, and then he left. After that, this church supported Paul. They knew he was traveling and telling people about Christ, and they sent, I guess, food or money or whatever he needed. Some years have passed, almost 10 years probably, maybe longer than 10 years. Paul is in prison in Rome. This church hears about it and puts together money, food, clothes, no telling what, and they send it by a guy by the name of Epaphroditus. He goes all the way to Rome and brings this to Paul. And so Paul writes the letter thanking the Philippians for the gift and also challenging them and encouraging them to live for Jesus Christ. We're in a section the first part that you can sort of break it down. That's where we are in the first part, that in verses 3-8, which we're going to look at this morning, we see Paul is giving thanks. He is thankful to God and he prays for the Philippians. Next week, verses 9, 10, and 11, we're actually going to see Paul's prayer. Paul says in two places, even here, I pray always for you. Well, what does he pray in verses 9, 10, and 11? Paul, we see his prayer, and he prays for the Philippians' growth. And so we're going to see that next week, that part. But this week, we're going to look at verses 3-8. And as we look at this, we remember one thing. We are all in this together. That's what he writes. He writes and says, we're in this together, and we're members of the body of Christ. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, he places you in the body of Christ, and we're in there together to live for Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, there's one body with many members. Well, let me give you the outline for today's passage. And this is verses 3-8. And see, Paul thankfully prays for the Philippians. That's verses 3-4. We actually touched on that just a little bit last week, so I'll give it to you. And then we see Paul says the Philippians are partners with Christ. Partners, they share in proclaiming the gospel. They share in Paul's defense of the faith. And then he ends it by saying that he loves the Philippians. So we'll see that. And, you know, this is a little bit different than when we studied the book of Revelation, because there's a lot of narrative in the book of Revelation and all these events. This is a letter. And most of the New Testament is letters. And you may not think about that, but almost these letters were written to particular churches at particular times about particular things. And so this is the letter to the Philippian church, and yet the things that are in there are things that we can understand and make application in our lives. And so that's what we're going to do as we go through it verse by verse. Well, let's begin. Paul thanks God for them. In verse 3, he says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. We might say it this way. Every time I think of you, I pray for you. I'm thankful for you. In fact, the way it's written in the Greek, he says, I am keeping on thanking. I am thanking God over and over for you. He loves these people. And when he thinks about these people, he thanks God for them. And there may be people in your life. In fact, I know there are people in your life that you are thankful for. You're thankful that God brought them in your life. They may be your family. They may be some of your best friends. And you're thankful to God for them. Paul is saying, I thank God every time I think of you. You know why? Because Paul was used by God to touch their lives, and they were used by God to touch Paul's lives. Just incredible. He was thankful for these believers. I want you to stop for a minute and think about who you're thankful for in this body and in your life. Who is invested in you? Who is it that maybe in your life told you about Jesus and you put your faith in Christ for eternal life? You believed in him. Who is that? Or who is the person that maybe there's somebody that's helping you grow, that's maybe discipling you or meeting with you, or a friend that's just always there. And so when you think about them, you should be thankful to God for them. And maybe this week, you remember I told you last couple of weeks ago that get a sheet of paper, you know, get a little book, and the people that come to your mind, write them down and pray for them on an ongoing basis and say, God, thank you for this person in my life, and thank you for that. And maybe even write a little note to them and say, I just wanted to write this note to tell you, thank you for all you've done for me, in how you've invested in my life. So as Paul says, I thank God every time I remember you, we can say the same thing. I thank God every time we think of certain people in our lives. And then he says about praying. He says, I'm always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you. He says, every time I'm offering, I'm always lifting up prayers to you. You know, if you actually went through Paul's letters and wrote down every time he says he prays for somebody, you would be amazed, because there's a long list of people that Paul prays for. And it's just amazing. We'd say, well, when would he have the time? I mean, he wrote 13 letters, 3 missionary journeys, in and out of prison, and being beaten up and thrown around and everything else. But I guarantee you, on most of these trips that he was taking, he had time to pray. He just was an amazing person. A lot of people look at Paul and they read Paul and they know that he was a really forceful personality. He was. when he and Barnabas had that argument over whether they should take John Mark, you know, Paul went one way and Barnabas went another, but they never stopped being friends and never stopped loving each other and doing ministry even together. But Paul was the kind of man that he knew what he believed. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. He was willing to risk his life day in and day out to take the message of Jesus Christ to the world. And he was still a soft person, a tender person. He prayed for people. He cared about people. So what does he say to these churches? He says, every time I think of you, I thank God, and I'm always offering up prayers with joy in every prayer that I pray for you. Notice how Paul prayed. He prayed with joy, as I said a while ago. 16 times joy or rejoice is in this book. And joy is always based on your fellowship with God. Happiness is based on circumstances, and things go bad and you're not happy. Things go good, you're happy. But fellowship is where we get the joy of our salvation and of God's salvation. And so he says, I have great joy. I'm always praying with joy in every prayer for you. And then he's going to talk about two things about his partnership. Here's what he's going to say. The believers were partners with Paul, he says, in two things. In the gospel ministry and in his defense of the faith. He says to them, you are with me as I do these things. Look at verse 5. He says, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And so he's going to start with the believers were partners in the gospel. If you see the word, now my Bible says, in view of your participation. That is the Greek word koinonia. It actually means fellowship or communion or partnership. So you could translate this in view of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, we're in this thing together. As I'm going out taking the message, you are with me. You are helping share the faith. In fact, he says, from the first day until now. When he went there, he led Lydia to believe in Jesus Christ. And then the Philippian jailer. And then he stayed there for a while. And then he got run out of town. And after he left, he says, from that day forward, we've been partners in this thing. You have been with me, sending stuff to me. I'm going out. I'm telling people. He says, so you have been partners in your participation and partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, he is an incredible guy from the very beginning. How did it work? Well, first of all, they helped to send Paul. When Paul left Philippi and went on to Thessalonica and then on to Berea and then on down to Athens and then on down to Corinth and all that part, they helped him go. In fact, look at this. Paul writes this. He says, as you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, when he first started giving out the message, after I left from Macedonia, that's where they were, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, in other words, giving out things, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, when he went to the next city, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. He says, you were always there. You were always sending out. You were always helping me. And so he says that that's what they do. And humanly speaking, they help Paul in taking the message. Do you understand that there's a group of college people that are going to leave sometime in, I guess, June. I can't remember exactly the dates. They're going to the UK, and down there about 1% of the people believe like we believe. 1%. 99% of the people don't believe what we believe. They're going to go there, and they're going to take the gospel into the streets and into places, and there's a church there that's going to help them. And guess what? You can have a part in that. When, if you give and you just put a little check, say, this is for the college trip to UK or something, you're actually helping in the same way that the Philippians helped Paul go to Thessalonica and then on to the next place and on to the next place, then that we can do the same sort of thing. In fact, every time you give at this church, a portion of that money goes to those 20, so we have over 20-something missionaries that we support every month. And as you give, you're helping people go all over the world to take the message of Jesus Christ. It's just incredible. So he says, I'm so happy about the fact that your participation, your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. So that not only did they send Paul, they helped him, but they personally shared the message of Christ. Philippians 2:12 says they always obeyed. They always did the right thing. They were leading people to Christ. They were telling people about Christ. So not only do we help other people go to where they need to go, we, where we live, we are to be sharing the message of Jesus Christ. We're to take what we know and to help people understand the salvation message. Listen, y'all, there are people out there that if you were to say to them, if you were to die, do you think you would go to heaven, or do you think you would be with Jesus or be with God? And there are so many people that will look at you and say, I have no idea. There'll be people that look at you and they'll say, I think I might, or I hope I might. And you can say to them, would you like for me to show you from the Bible how you can know that you have eternal life? This is the greatest thing we've ever got to do. Philippians were helping Paul, and Paul says, I thank God every time I think of you. I pray for you all the time because you are sharing with me. You're in partnership with me, taking the gospel to the world. And they're sharing the gospel as well. Let's stop for just a minute and talk about the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Now, there are different gospels in the scripture. There's the gospel of the kingdom that's found with Matthew. In Matthew, where John the Baptist says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's not a salvation message. We'll talk about it some other time. That's a gospel. There was a gospel called the eternal gospel, which was found in the book of Revelation, that it goes on to describe that the eternal gospel was judgment on the earth. It was the good news message that God was going to judge the unbelievers on the world. That's part of it. And then there's the gospel, which we call the good news, which is the salvation aspect of it. And we look at it and we call it the gospel message, the gospel response, and the gospel offer. The gospel message is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, I delivered to you first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried, and rose again the third day according to Scripture. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ. The gospel message, he died and rose again. From that, we have a response. And the response is to believe. It's always faith. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. We believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 1, 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God's salvation to everyone who believes. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes. John 1, 12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even those who believe in his name. John 5, 24, truly, truly, I say to you, here's my word, and believes in him who sent me, who believes in him who sent me. Listen, it's over and over again. 98 times in the Gospel of John, it says believe. 160 times in the New Testament, it says believe. The message, response to the message that Jesus died and rose again is to believe. Well, to believe what? The offer is that believe that Jesus Christ will give you eternal life. God so loved us that he gave his Son to die and rise again, that whoever believes will not perish, but have, what does the offer? Eternal life. Life. We get the gift of eternal life simply by faith. So be ready. Be ready to share your faith when the opportunities come, when you go out these doors. You know what the message is. He died and rose again. You know what the response is to believe, and you know what the offer is, eternal life. You believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. That's what you're going to tell them. And that message will change their lives, and it will change your life as you get to share it. And so what do we see here? We see this is the gospel, and Paul says, I'm so excited about your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Let me just say this to you, that if you, not you, it, when people reject the truth of the Bible, they will believe anything. Just look at what's out there. There's a whole bunch of people that believe, this guy named L. Ron Hubbard wrote a science fiction book, and now people think it's real. There are people who follow that. They'll believe anything. Listen, when people reject the truth of the Bible, they will believe almost anything. I saw something the other day. I think I was in the grocery store, and I saw some of those tabloids. You're not going to believe it. Well, this one said, woman gives birth to two-year-old baby. You know, right? Okay, think about that. All right. And then I saw one that said, World War II bomber found on the moon. Okay, there are people who believe that, by the way. Okay, people, if they reject the truth of the Bible, they'll believe almost anything. You have the greatest message of all. You can tell people how they can have eternal life. So Paul thanks God. He thanks God for their partnership in this good news message in the gospel from the very first day when he was there all the way through. I like this message. Billy Graham said this. He said, the harvest is always urgent. The destiny of men and nations is always being decided. Every generation is strategic. We're not responsible for the past generation, and we cannot bear full responsibility for the next one. But we do have our generation. Now is the day that you get to share your faith, because we don't know what tomorrow's going to be. Now is the day. So Paul says, I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that you're participating. And then he says, I'm really confident you're going to keep on doing it. Watch what he says here. Paul is confident God will continue to use the Philippians. Look at verse 6. For I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it. That means bring to completion it until the day of Jesus Christ. He says, I am confident that God who started using you in my life from the day I was there, he will continue to use you until Jesus comes back and gets us. Paul is confident of that. He's confident that whatever God begins, he will work it through. And that's what we can say the same thing for us. Warren Wiersbe was a great Bible teacher. He said this, when we talk about good work, God's good work for us is salvation in us, is sanctification, and through us is our service. That's a powerful truth. We must realize that the one who saves us will continue to use us. And let me ask you something. He says that God is confident, that he's confident that God will use the Philippians until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the day of Christ? Let me show you that. The day of Christ is when he comes and gets us. Now, Jesus died and rose again. Paul is writing probably about like right here. It's been 2,000 years. Jesus could come at any second. When Jesus Christ comes, that's called the rapture, but it's called the day of Christ because he's going to come take us out and we get to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ to be rewarded. Paul says, I am confident that these Philippians will continue to be used by God until the day of Christ. What? Is that true? Guess what? We're reading their book right now. He's still using the Philippians. Let me tell you something, too. He will use you. Some people say something like this. You know, you can serve God, and then you die, and then it's over. No, it's not. No, it's not. It could be that before you died, you told somebody about Christ, you pass away, then they believe in Christ. That's you. It could be that you wrote something and then you pass away, and 3 years, 5 years later, somebody reads what you wrote and they believe in Jesus Christ, or they just, God can use you for eternity. What? It doesn't die with you. It goes on. Just like what Paul wrote to the Philippians and what they did, we're still talking about it. You could see the Philippian church going, yeah, they're still talking about us. Exactly. So Paul says they're partners with the gospel, but there's more. They're also partners in the defense of the faith. Well, what are we talking about? Watch what he says in verse 7. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers, partners of grace with me. He says, I feel this way about you because I love you. And see, I want you to look at the very first part of verse 7. It's right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. That's his way of saying, I think about you and I love you. Paul loved the Philippians. He thinks about them. And I know that there are people in this room that you love. Let me just tell you, when I stand up, I get to look at you. You can't see anybody but me. I see everybody. And I see your faces, and I see your smiles, and I see your hearts and lives. And some of you, I don't know all of you well enough, but there are some of you I love so much that I'm just so thankful to God I get to know you. That's how I feel. Paul says, I love those Philippians. They were there. They helped. I led them to Christ, so to speak. Got it going. And then I left, and they never stopped caring about me. And Paul says, it's only right for me to think this way because I have you in my heart. He loves. I want you to think about this. John 13 says, Jesus said, you'll know me. They'll know that you belong to me by your love for one another. Galatians 5 says, by love, serve one another. 1 Peter 4 says, love covers over a multitude of sins. Love is the key in how we respond with each other. And Paul says, thank you for sharing in the gospel with me. I'm confident you're going to keep going. It's only right for me to think this way. And then he says this, I have you since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of grace with me. He says, in my imprisonment and in my defense of the gospel, you're with me. Now, they were in Philippi, which is Macedonia. And Paul is in Rome. And he says, you're with me no matter what, because you care about me. You're praying for me. I'm praying for you. We're always there. He says, you're with me in my imprisonment. You know what happened? Now, let me just tell you something quickly, and we'll get through. That when Paul's in prison in Rome, he's not in a dungeon. He's in what's called a rented house. When he got there and they put him there, they put him in this house. He had the ability to walk around the house. People could bring food to him. He was chained to a soldier. Can you imagine the soldiers? They were chained to him. He would look at them and go, hey, I got a message for you. Let me talk to you. And it says that Paul led so many of the guards to Christ. He even says it in the book of Philippians. We'll read it, where Paul says, the Praetorium Guard have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. So Paul is there, and he's not in a dungeon, but people had to bring him food because they didn't feed the prisoners. And so the Philippians are sending things to Paul. And now later on, when he gets out, he gets back in prison. Toward the end, he's put in a dungeon, and he's going to die. It's totally different when he writes 2 Timothy. That's his last letter. He says, you're with me in my imprisonment, in my defense of the faith. And so he talks about his chains and his defense and confirmation of the gospel. Now read it again. He says, it's only right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. I love you. Since both in my imprisonment and the fact that I'm a prisoner and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers. You are sharing with me in both of those things. There's two words I want you really to think about. And that it's the word defense and confirmation. The word defense is the word we get apologia from. It's the word we get apology from. It means to make a defense. It means to give something. It's 1 Peter, to be able to give an answer. You have to be ready to give an answer for what you believe. We have to be ready. It doesn't mean we have to know the whole Bible. We can't know everything. And somebody could ask us a question. All we have to say is, I don't know, but I'll try to find out the answer. You can't know everything. But we can be ready to give an answer. And so that's the defense. Confirmation really means to show truth. Paul says, you're with me when I stand for the truth and I show people what is right when I defend it. Do you know that Paul, this is the second time he stood before the Romans. The second time, the first time he stood before the Romans, they came in and he had to stand before them. And he started telling them. And one of the Roman rulers said, wait a minute, Paul, are you trying to be in such a short time, make me a Christian? And Paul said, oh, I'd really love it if you and everybody else were Christians. That's what Paul says. So he's defending himself before the Roman government now. And so he says in the defense and confirmation, and he ends it, and I'll show you how he ends it. He ends it by showing his love. Watch what he says. For God is my witness, how I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. He says, I love you with a Christ-like love. I mentioned Warren Wiersbe a while ago. He has a way of saying things I think that is really good. Look what he says here. This is Christian love. Not Paul's love channeled through Christ, but Christ's love channeled through Paul. Paul loved these people, and there are people in this room you love, and you love your family, and you love your fellow believers, and we have a great opportunity to touch lives. So what have we seen? Paul thanks God for the Philippians. He prays for them. He thanks for their partnership in sharing the good news message, the salvation message, and their partnership as he defends his faith and tells while he's in prison. And then he tells, I love you. So let me give you some application just to think about. First, let's love one another. That's the key. Think about the people in your life that have impacted you. Love them. Love them. Reach out to them. We're to love one another. Paul says, I love you. Every time I think of you, I'm so excited. And I offer this prayer for you. And I have this affection for you. Well, we should love one another. Let's just face it, y'all. The closer you get to people, the more we're going to rub each other the wrong way. That's just because we're fallen people. That doesn't mean we don't love each other, and that doesn't mean we don't get close. Get as close as you can and love each other as much as you can. We have to do that, and that's what Paul says. Let's love one another. The second thing, let's realize we're in ministry together. We are. We're in ministry together. So what do? We proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what we do. We tell people how they can know and have eternal life simply by faith. You have to be ready, y'all. We talk to people. You can go and talk to a person and say, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? They don't have a clue. And sometimes they say, I'm trying to be good. Most people have never heard the grace message of salvation. They just haven't. It's just not clear. And so let's proclaim the good news message. Let's train fellow believers. And that means that we disciple them. That's what Paul said. They're right there. We're in ministry together. We care about each other. We train. And then the third thing we should do is help send others. And that's our UK thing, and that's our missionaries, and that's all the kind of different ministries we're trying to do. We can help each other get the message out in the same way the Philippians helped Paul. The last one is, I think, probably the hardest one. Let's be ready to defend the faith. That means you got to know what you believe and able to tell others what you believe and why you believe it. And it's not something that you can know overnight. It takes a long time. It doesn't take a long time to know the foundational truths about what do we believe about Jesus, what do we believe about salvation, what do we believe about the Bible. You get those three first, and then from then on, you begin to put the Bible together, see how it fits together, and you can be ready to give an answer to everyone for the hope that is within you.